Our people are scattered, like stars in the galaxy. What are we? Being a Mandalorian is not just learning about how to fight. You also have to know how to navigate the galaxy. That way, you'll never be lost.
Let the blood rain from the sky!
Trust me.
I hate when you say that!
Don't touch that!
Kill them slowly.
No! You finish the maze, you win the prize.
I want you to find your peace. But a good death only comes after a good life. You and I left a good life behind a long time ago, my friend.
This Organized Chaos podcast is brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to an Organized Chaos podcast. My name is Bobby Quarters. With me, as always, is Bob or Chaos or the fake Irishman, or what's the new one this week?
I don't think there's a new one this week. I mean, fake Irishman was nice. It was a fun one.
Digging deep, for the hits. All right, all right. Going back to the well. All right.
Well, I think we need more fake Irishmen in this country. I really do. It's an underrepresented group.
And it only happens at least once a year.
Yeah.
There is a massive jump in the population of people who are Irish, and usually wake up the next day regretting that, leaving a pizza somewhere in the middle of the street.
But it's not just you and me, because George is here. How are you doing, George?
Hi, George.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
George doesn't always join us, but he saw we were covering Dungeons & Dragons 2000, and he said, I can't resist. Yeah. I've got to jump in on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. How can I not talk about it?
Who doesn't list that as one of their all-time favorite movies?
Sorry.
Seriously.
I mean,
the computer effects were before their time. Just... nailing it.
I've seen it a total of 1.5 times since the year it came out, okay?
Yeah,
clearly my favorite movie ever.
I've seen it a total of twice, now. One of it was last night.
Since when I watched it last night, from the time it came out, I had seen it once. And well, man, it wasn't worth the wait. I'll start with that.
No, it's we'll get to it, but we got a new Dungeons & Dragons movie coming out, so we will be talking about the one from 23 years ago. But before that, we're going to talk about the first half of Mandalorian Season 3.
Yeah.
And after that, we're going to be talking about a movie, I don't know if anybody's heard of this franchise, Jim Wook?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that, yeah. Jim Wook.
Jim Wook.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim
I thought Wook. It was a spinoff of The Wicker Man.
Yes.
Oh.
John Wicker.
John Wickerman.
Yes.
Wickerman, comma, John.
Yes.
It's a story about the old country before, it was shortened to Wick.
Mm-hmm. It's a smaller franchise. I don't know if anybody's heard of it, but, it's, I guess, maybe some headlines. Yeah.
Yeah.
But are we ready to head into some news, guys?
Sure. Yeah, let's dive into some.
Okay, so Jonathan Majors was arrested for assault. The MCU's Kang, the recent villain in the last Creed movie. And actually, before I say anything, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Brilliant fucking actor. Fucking, I've not seen him do anything but a great performance. But this isn't good.
But, I mean, everything is technically still alleged.
Yes, everything's alleged. It sounds really bad.
It sounds really bad.
I hope whoever he attacked is doing well. And how this is handled. Like, we still, there's so many details that we still don't know yet. I'm hearing lots of rumors that he has a history of this, but all the rumors I've seen of that have come from sites that are less than reliable. So I'm taking those with a grain of salt. Yeah. Salt. So right now we just know he was arrested for assault. His lawyer is saying he didn't do it. I hope everybody's okay. And again, like how this is handled, it all depends. Like if this is something he has a history of, then it's something that probably needs addressed. If this is a one-time deal, then, you know, I don't know, rehabilitation or something. But yeah, I mean, it just kind of sucks for everybody involved, especially for whoever is the victim, most likely. I guess I don't have a whole lot to say other than...
This came out of left field, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, all I knew before I heard about this was that he was a great actor. Now it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, right. Like, You hope that the people that, you know, you see and you think, man, he's a great actor. I hope he's a really great person. You really hope that they aren't like a crappy.
Yeah, like.
But you hear things like this. But what the terrible thing I think is more so like the court of public opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, like if this all turns out to be false allegations and all the charges are dropped, there's still going to be that image that will exist, and it might hurt him.
Yeah.
Or it might get overlooked.
I don't know how much it will hurt him, because cancel culture really doesn't seem to be having much of an effect for how much people complain about it. But
No. I think some make it out to be far worse than what it actually means.
Yeah.
God
damn it. Bill Cosby's working on new material, for fuck's sake. No.
Fred Savage is still having work.
Did Fred Savage do something?
Was it him? I think, he got kicked off of a set for, behavior.
I didn't hear about that.
Same here. I didn't know.
It was Fred, yeah, because Ben is running, for Congress out in California. Okay. Corey from Boy Meets World, yeah, but that's off topic. But,
I'm looking it up real fast.
Yep, fact check.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about him running for Congress?
No, just brother. Let's see. Fred Savage was first sued by Costner, who worked with him during the final season of the original Wonder Years. The actor was 16 at the time. Monique Long accused both him and Jason Harvey, who was 18 and played Big Brother Wayne Arnold of the show, of verbally and sexually harassing her daily. This just came out last year. I did not hear about this. Fred Savage accused of forcing himself on ex-Wonder Years crew member in bar bathroom. That's Rolling Stone, so that's decently reliable.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I didn't know about Fred Savage. Seems like he's a piece of shit. Seems like
Ben Savage. But Ben is running.
I knew less about Ben Savage.
Well, he was a Boy Meets World, but he's actually running for Congress out in California. So if you are listening or watching this and he is in your district, he seems to be completely on the up and up, in my opinion.
Well, that's good.
Yes, I'm endorsing him. Yeah.
Just ruin.
As if a shitty past behavior never affected anyone's political.
Well, his sibling. Yeah. Sibling. But not like, you know, there's like political figures and their siblings have been, you know, on the up and up.
That's never happened.
I can think of a big one that's, we'll just leave it at that.
Wait. Are you guys trying to say that nepotism exists?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've proven it doesn't exist. I was talking to Ivanka Trump the other day, and she said it doesn't exist. Okay?
Well, she seems I guess like it doesn't exist then.
Yeah, she would know.
I mean, she's the expert.
Yes, that's yes.
Standard.
But yeah, I guess we got a little derailed here. But yeah, Jonathan Majors, we still need to see the full story.
And yeah, it's still developing.
I hope it works out best for everyone
involved. Yeah, and this broke, what, I sent this to you, what, Saturday night?
Yeah, something like that. And we still don't know the full story.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where if he's innocent, then I hope, you know, everything goes well. If it's a one-time thing, then I hope it's something he can reflect on and address and work on fixing. If it's a history thing, then that's a fucking problem. And, but yeah, I guess. Outside of that, I don't have much to say because the story's still out
there.
We
don't know.
That's bad news.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's of course not a good look.
All right, yeah, let's...
I'm sure Kevin Feige is like, well, you know, Kang variants could look different. Yeah. No Way Home established that. Kang...
Yet.
Yeah. Yet. All right, but are we ready for some Mando?
Yeah, let's talk about this new season.
Yeah.
Just to verify, we're only talking up to episode 3, right?
4.
Or okay.
4.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
I just didn't know how far we were going with it so far. All right.
Cool. No, first half.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. But yeah, this is so far I'm enjoying this, but it's definitely doing a lot of building. If you may notice, if you're watching the video, I put Katie Sackhoff's Bo-Katan as the picture for this one. And that's something I didn't realize until watching this, but she's listed as a co-lead right now with Pedro Pascal. Which is why she's been in every single episode. Yes.
Mm. Hmm.
Like, essentially, if you see the cast listing, well, it's Pedro Pascal, Katie Sackhoff, and then everyone else.
Well, if you notice, I've noticed this with this season so far, that they have been leaning heavy on her with the character, but also, like, giving her, like, redemption right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately just putting her with, you know, Mando, so I'm okay with it because I'm enjoying how the story's developing, and especially where it's evolved to the point we're at in the story right now.
Well, I mean, I like Katie Sackhoff as an actress, and I think the character is interesting because she's not like a villain, but like obviously it was set up at the end of the last season where she wanted the Darksaber so she could lead the Mandalorians, and Mando got it. And, you know, she's not willing to take it from him except in combat. And it was also kind of clear she didn't want to actually take it from him in combat. So it leaves her in a weird position where she's not a villain, but she's, you know, she's obviously going to be a little envious. And I like how they're developing, like, a relationship because, you know, they're working together a lot so far in this first half of the season.
In the back of your mind, you kind of, you know, she's starting to become more of like an ally, but in the back of your mind is like, okay, something could turn.
Yes.
You know, later this season.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I like them developing as friends. I don't want it to go sour, but there is that potential. Because the Darksaber stuff hasn't really been brought up. She did actually get to use it a little bit in episode 2.
Yeah.
She was able to pick it up and help save him. But yeah. In fact, I'm trying to think, have we seen Mando use Darksaber this season? I don't think we have.
Not this season.
We've I don't think so.
Bo use it, yeah.
I think he had it for a second in that second episode, and it got knocked out of his hands, and that's when Bo picked it up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But speaking of being a Mandalorian, Grogu's getting some Mandalorian training this season already.
It was
adorable.
Is he going to get a helmet with holes in the sides?
I was thinking about that, too. Yeah. Like, will it be fitted? Or would they be separate and connect on?
They'd just have to have like enough room. Which I guess.
Oh, I can tell you, Zach, it will be adorable. It will be...
Yeah, it's.
Yeah. It's
probably the most lovable Star Wars character to date.
I know. It's ridiculous. Like, Disney.
It's so cute at times, it's stupid. Yeah. God, that little fucking thing.
Yeah, no, Disney has calculate the most adorable character they could possibly put into a Star Wars franchise, and god damn it works.
They make him a moat. I noticed that, like, the eyebrow mechanics are like way more noticeable in this one, and it's just that is so freaking adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're featuring Grogu a lot more, and
a lot of it, I can tell, like, when they're using the puppet and the animatronic.
Yeah.
It's much appreciated just as a fan of practical effects.
And I will also say, when they use CGI, like, you don't really notice it, because I think it's probably used super sparingly, but...
Yeah,
I love the fact that he's primarily a puppet. And I will say, if he's not primarily a puppet, and that's primarily CGI, then fucking maybe even more impressive, because holy crap.
Well, I think when he's walking, when he's doing that little waddle.
Yeah, he has that little waddle thing he does, yeah. It's pretty goddamn adorable. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I know the big episode lots of people complained about was episode 3.
That's what I was about to ask. George.
Okay, yeah.
No, that's exactly what I was going to ask. What did you guys think of the third episode with Penn Pershing?
Well, I know lots of people were complaining about it because it is a little slow going, but they're obviously doing setup. Yeah. And it's those two Pete scientists that worked under Moff Gideon. And then the one scientist we even saw working with Werner Herzog, who's always creepy in everything he does. Even when he directs, he's creepy.
Looking great.
I know. I love him. Yeah. But anyways, we saw the first... she said she was a communications officer under Moff Gideon, but I thought she was his first officer. Was she lying, or was I misreading her role? Do you guys remember?
No.
I'm trying to think back on that.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I don't know. Maybe technically it was communication. Or, you know, maybe she was just lying so they didn't think she was as prominent. Because I will say this, like, she's awful.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I was taken... They kind of set it up, kind of had, like, a spy vibe feel to it. Like, he was always being watched. And I had to stop and think for a minute, like, okay, this is post-Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a second there, I'm like, wait a minute, is this, you know, during the Empire where they're just kind of like Big Brother? And I'm like, but wait, no, this is post-Empire. And I always have to remind myself that.
It's definitely, the Empire is definitely prominent here, but it's not, it's not the power, it's not the main power in the galaxy. It's an interesting state of affairs. Now I think about, they are setting up nicely for how maybe the First Order comes into a thing. But,
What I was going to say is, I think you're right. I think they're trying to do some setup, and, you know, there's probably a lot of trial and error going on, just trying to see kind of what the audience response is, to see how they can introduce characters, and if they want to flesh them out more, if they have a positive audience feedback, then they'll, you know, flesh the cast out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and bring them into other series later down the road. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe part of the reason Katie Sackhoff's Bo-Katan is so prominent is because they're just setting her up for a spinoff series, you know, which was what they were going to give Gina Carano, but she decided to be a bitch instead. So
then, you know, like, we just have, like, open prairie.
I heard they were going to...
Go ahead, George.
I was going to say, I think... Last time we discussed Mando, that she potentially might be recast, but it almost seems like they're just going to cut her out completely.
Yeah. I mean, they left it open so they could bring her back, and I'm sure it'll be another actress. But it's I'm not too picky at this point. I know there have been lots of petitions to cast Lucy Lawless in the role, which that'd be a fucking huge upgrade. Like, I'm on board, but that's a huge upgrade.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Holy shit. Yeah, give Lucy Lawless a spinoff series. I am on board. I don't know how to get her.
It would be
shit.
Like, she'd be badass.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's be like, Lucy Lawless, but yeah.
Cara Dune, you look slightly differently, and all of a sudden you're a much better actress, too.
No, weird. I'd be on board for that.
Yeah.
Right? I'd be okay with them recasting Lucy Lawless as Carl Dune. That'd be all right.
It kind of depends how they want to handle it. Right. I'm okay with them just forgetting, but like, if Lucy Lawless is like, hey, I'm on board, it's like, give her a role. Like, I don't care if it's Cara Dune, just give Lucy Lawless a role. I don't
anybody,
care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who she is.
It's Lucy Lawless. She's a legend. She's a treasure.
It's cool.
Yeah.
You have a built-in fan base already. You're going to flock to the network if they don't have it already.
Yeah.
So we know everyone from Disney is watching this video. Cast yes. Lucy Lawless.
Yes.
Yeah. Disney, offer Lucy Lawless some money to be in your show. I don't care. I don't care. Give her a little role and then give her a spinoff. It's all I'm asking. It'll cost you a few $100 million, but I will watch it. You have one viewer
it
guaranteed.
It is worth every penny. Guaranteed.
Yeah. But, yeah, the two scientists in episode three, like I said, I thought the episode was dragging a bit, but they're definitely setting up stuff.
They're setting, and I actually really liked that one. Like, that was, like, probably my favorite of the first four.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, no, I thought it went on a bit too long, but, like I said, they're definitely setting up stuff. They're setting up that one character to be a villain, and that
world
was interesting. Yes.
And that's what I love. That's what I love with Star Wars. That's why I love this expanded stuff. This is why I'm in it for the expanded series. It's more world building.
Yeah.
Which is just,
yeah,
it answers stuff that we've always wanted to know, stuff we've always wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was always curious. What if people just been like, yo, I surrender, like, the rebels, like, they're an imperialist. Like, what happens to them? Do they kill them? Are they a POW?
Yeah.
That Do was they an interesting convert thing to them?
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I was here for it. It was interesting. Because from that perspective, like, they're really no better.
Yeah, I like that idea, because they're probably officers who are there just genuinely, I want to reform, I want to do better. And then there's probably also people like the woman, who obviously we've been talking about, the one who was worked under Moff Gideon, who I suspect is, like, just doing shit to try to gain favor with the New Republic.
Who had a stash of Imperial snacks.
Yeah. She's up to no good, that one. I'm not 100% sure what her plan is, but they're definitely setting her up for something, probably later in the season.
You don't think she's a deep spy? Like,
possibly.
Deep cover?
Possibly.
Maybe.
Who knows? But yeah, like we said before, most of the series has been Mando and Bo-Katan. Mando, of course, in Book of Boba Fett, he was kicked from his Mandalorian set because he took off his mask. And I'm not going to lie, my hope was that he would kind of join whatever Katie Sackhoff was with, or Bo-Katan was with, so he doesn't always have to wear a mask, but instead he took it the other way, and he did what was necessary. He bathed in the pools of Mandalore, which were supposed to be toxic, but he found out they weren't, so he could regain his honor. And she ended up doing it too, so she's now with his sect. We'll have to see how that plays out. I don't know if she's going to be on board for doing that long term, but we will find out.
I'm glad that they snuck in. You can remove your helmet when you eat.
Yeah,
that's just one of those rules.
I like that.
Even that gets silly though. It's like we all have to find a private spot to sit down and then eat. It's like
or sleep. I'm sure they don't sleep in the armor. And it's like,
no, they're
just make it simple, you know, just say, you know, did you take your helmet off in the presence of others? That's all you have to say.
It's all on the honor system. I mean, Mando could have just said, nope, never done that. Definitely didn't just show my face to Grogu because I wanted to. Definitely didn't.
Just 100 times throughout the series, like, have you removed your helmet?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to eat.
Yeah. Did you remove your helmet? Geez. Yeah, I'm Pedro Pascal. I'm a fairly famous actor. I get paid more for the episodes where I show my face, so therefore I'm willing to fight in my contract to show my face more. Oh.
I got to, like, you know, cash in the check somehow.
Yeah, I will say, I think Pedro Pascal does a good job here. Now, even though it's mostly voice work, and he gets a, you know, leading credit in a show for mostly voice work, which is interesting.
Yeah, because he's not always in the suit, I'm sure.
He's almost never. They actually have Nargai. You can see, look in the cast, like, he's cast as Mandalorian, but there's Nargai cast as Mandalorian. I'm certain that's just the guy in the suit whenever the mask is on, pretty much.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
I know in the MCU they talked about how, or I think it might have even been Robert Downey Jr. talked about how if Iron Man's mask is ever on, that's not him on screen.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I think that's interesting. That's probably almost identical to what it's like in Mandalorian. Maybe season one he did some stuff, but I'm sure after that it's like, yeah. If you guys want my face, want me to be there physically, you gotta show my face.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess overall, what are you guys' thoughts of the first half of season three?
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I want to see where they're going with the not so reformed rebellion member.
Yeah.
Working. Yeah. I want to see what her end game or where she'll go with that. I hope we get to see more of Bo's turning closer towards embracing the Mandalorian end of it.
Yeah.
Because she had asked for the moniker
on her
armor, which I thought was showed great growth as the character.
Yes.
I hope we get to see more of Grogu's training.
Oh, God. We got to talk about the flashback.
Yeah.
Because I forgot.
In the flashback?
The Grogu's flashback to Order 66.
Yeah.
He was training with the Jedi at that time.
Yeah, because we got to talk about a character who pops up.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the character, but like, there's this badass Jedi that helped him escape, did some really fucking cool shit. Badass.
Dual wielding lightsaber badass. Yeah,
do you guys remember the name of the Jedi?
No. No, but I can tell you this is his second appearance.
Oh, yeah. No, he's been in Star Wars before as a different character.
As well as the same world, too.
Yeah, for sure. No,
his second. Kelleran Beck is the name of the Jedi.
Yeah, he was badass.
No,
I kind of love, like, when I saw his face, it's like, he looks kind of familiar, but I don't know. Not super familiar. And then I saw the credits, and I was just like, oh! I love it.
Yeah, it's...
Yes.
Well, his other non Jar Jar character was
well, you just gave it away there, but yes, he is Jar Jar Binks.
He is Jar Jar Binks.
Yes, that was loved it. That's all good.
Yeah.
What was his other stuff?
He was in Attack of the Clones with Anthony Daniels, who was playing a non C-3PO character. They were in the club at the beginning of the movie where they being hunted by the bounty hunter.
Oh, that's right.
So he's in that scene with Anthony Daniels as, you know, cameo characters, but
okay. He also played Jar Jar Binks, like George said.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Jar Jar Binks is probably his most known role, but
yeah, he's the one who's responsible for the Empire
character. Yeah.
It was because of his vote the Empire got power.
Well, now it's also because of him that we have Grogu. No.
Yeah, I just want to remind that the character.
I'm not ashamed to say that I thought Jar Jar was a cute character. I know a lot of people found him annoying, but I thought there was like a cuteness and adorableness to him.
Yeah,
not like Grogu cute, but
the obnoxious never really bothered me because 3PO was obnoxious in the first one.
Yeah, I don't know
and it was that same level.
But that being said,
well, like, C-3PO they toned
down a lot after the first one.
Well, they did, yeah. Yeah, and I was shocked that they allowed him to speak on behalf of a planet.
I always thought R2 and 3PO were the LGBT representation
of
the original. I think Anthony Daniels is gay, I think. I think he's gay. Or bi or something, I don't know.
That doesn't seem unfamiliar.
Yeah.
God damn it, now you got me on a fact check again.
Yeah. I could be totally wrong, but I thought that was in an interview somewhere.
It wouldn't surprise
me. No.
But... I don't see much, but according to this, he was married to Christine Savage in 1999.
Okay.
So probably a woman. Probably.
Oh, maybe not.
Yeah.
But I still stand by my statement that.
That's 100%.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the sexual tension between 3PO and R2-D2 is like you could cut that with a knife. It's like, Jesus Christ, would you two just get a fucking rope? I swear to God.
I mean, they're droids. I get it. But, you know, they They very much give off that vibe. And that's something that I really like about the original Star Wars, that there's just a lot of things there that just kind of imply nothing's made out to be a big deal. It's it's just there. It is what it is.
It's just there.
Now you're watching that, the 3PO and R2-D2 talking. It's like, we get it. R2-D2's a top and 3PO's a bottom. We get it.
I mean, if the original movie had come out today, everybody would be like, oh, what's all this woke bullshit? Oh, God.
I can't believe they're talking bad on fascism, guys. This is... God, all this political crap in this movie is ridiculous.
This is this commentary on imperialism is just horseshit.
I mean, the rebels are terrorists if you think about it.
They're Antifa. The rebels are Antifa.
Yes, they are.
Good lord.
We need some Proud Boys in this universe.
You get it. You get it. Thank you. We told you the water wasn't too warm. It's okay. Welcome to the party.
Since when did this become political? It always has been. Just stop.
It fucking always has been.
Star Wars was never political. There was that whole... You remember that scene where Vader chokes the one guy and they're talking about bureaucrats and governors controlling their systems? And I mean, that's nothing political in that scene.
No, there's no politics remotely in that scene. That's what's great about that scene.
No.
There's zero politics. Just an accurate,
it was just an accurate representation of your typical Senate meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they do talk about how they modeled the Imperial uniforms and a lot of the Imperial stances and stuff off Nazis, but Nazis aren't political.
No, they're not.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, you're reading too much into it.
They were just volunteer citizens, just like stormtroopers. Oh, wait, never mind.
They were just following orders.
Oh, God. But yes, George, did you give your final thoughts on Mandalorian so far?
Season so far.
Yeah.
I haven't rewatched the previous seasons. I'm... You know, with TV series, I'll usually wait till the very end and then I'll give the whole thing a rewatch. Mm. So, but no, so far, I really like the season. Don't have a ton of complaints.
Yeah, so. I mean, well, you guys have largely said kind of near where I'm at. That so far I'm kind of on board. They're doing lots of setup so far, but I'm enjoying what they're doing. More Grogu Mandalorian training, please. I will say, like, a lot of the visuals here look good. Like, those, like, giant bird things. Those looked good.
I'm happy, bro. I'm also happy that they didn't do anything to them, but they took them in.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
Yeah.
That was pretty
At first,
cool.
I thought they were dragons when they... When the child got kidnapped, I'm like, that looks a lot like a dragon. And then Brian and I were joking that it was going to be a... House of the Dragon multiverse crossover.
It's a crossover, yeah.
We're taking him to see Daenerys.
This won't make any sense. Just do it.
No, that was
Disney bought Game of Thrones. We're doing it.
I see D&D finally got their Star Wars gig. All right. Yeah. Maybe they're going to try and make the last season better.
Ooh.
I was happy to see that they took the young and... the responsible thing
that was cool. I was happy that they didn't, like, you know, just go back and kill them, but they actually took them in. Yeah,
they just have to find some Mando armor that will fit these things.
God,
they're turning them into riders.
everything's custom made.
Mandalorians Mandalorians riding those things. Oh,
they don't need the jetpacks though.
No, they're gonna get the jetpacks anyway. They're like, why are you getting a jetpack? Because you get a jetpack, but you have wings. Fuck you! I want a jetpack.
No, I'm talking about a Mandalorian riding one, like on like a horse, like them riding one like that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we will have to see. We'll see how they play into the greater arc.
Like dragon riders, dude. I'm calling it now.
I'm not gonna lie. We'll be
calling it now.
It won't even surprise me if, like, for quite a few episodes we forget about them, then they're brought up and they're riding them and kicking ass.
But the kids, like the kids. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kids.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But are we ready to talk about some Dungeons and Dragons?
Oh,
I suppose.
So we Dungeons and Dragons, Academy Award winner for Best Picture 2000.
Oh,
best visual effects.
Yes, shit. Best winner for best visual effects as well.
Oh. And certainly not a winner of a Razzie at all.
Didn't even win a Razzie?
Jeremy Irons won quite a few Academy Awards for his
Best Buffet. He won it for Best Buffet.
Blue Lipstick Guy won Academy Awards as well, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's officially known as Blue Lipstick Guy, huh?
Yeah,
that's what we were calling him.
Colgate. Here, let's
what
just call
else
him
do you
Colgate.
Call him?
Colgate?
Yeah. This was bad. Oh my god.
This was
like
really
I saw this back when it came out and like I
oh, I'm
like,
sorry.
Blanked on it so hard. Like
I'm sorry you
holy
paid money
crap.
For that.
Well, I say when it came out, I mean, like, on DVD. I did not go to the theater for this. I'm not going to say that one.
My brother borrowed the VHS off of somebody. That's where I saw it.
Oh.
I don't even think I watched it all the way. I'm just like, okay, this is bad. I'm leaving.
It's
have fun.
Terrible. And so, were you guys shocked when Richard O'Brien popped up?
I think I might have just browned out at that point. I was telling Brian, I'm like, that guy doing here.
That guy has a strong Riff Raff vibe.
Yeah.
And then like Brian's like, I think that is Riff Raff. Look it up. And I looked it up and yeah, whoa, shit, it's Richard O'Brien.
Yeah, it looked a lot like him. And I was like, what is he doing in this? Well, I guess he's here for the same reason Jeremy Irons is here.
I was more surprised when Tom Baker, the doctor, showed up.
Tom?
Like,
yes.
My first reaction was like, oh, God. Oh, please. Please help. Help me. Help, so, help us. Well, this movie is terrible.
I missed it. What did Tom Baker play? I totally missed that one.
He was like exactly where he popped up, but I just remember seeing him because
I saw him in the credits. But it was just like that's got to be a different Tom Baker. I didn't see.
It was later in the movie, and it was just kind of.
He played Halvarth.
Halvarth,
and it was he was in one of the scenes right after, games.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like it was just one brief scene where he was talking. The group
giving them a pep talk.
Yeah, no,
he's
Halvarth.
Just like the doctor.
No, I remember he famously did not want to reprise the doctor until very recently. No. And
David Tennant wrote him a letter, if I recall reading correct.
Yeah, it might have been. And now he's done a whole bunch of audiobooks and stuff because, like, he's an old man. Yeah. He doesn't, who knows how much longer we have.
David just said,
treasure.
Like, he was like, you are the reason why so many of me and my predecessors have become and wanted this role.
Mm-hmm. No, because, he's definitely played the Doctor more than anyone else. Like, he did it for 7 years. He's got at least approaching 200 episodes, if not 200 episodes as the Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Tennant is like, yeah.
Yeah, Tennant is, well, Tennant's nowhere close, but, like,
no,
Tennant's a great doctor too. Yeah, Tennant.
He's trying to break it. He's trying to break it.
Oh, he's got to do it a lot more. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
Tennant only did it for 3 years. So that's gonna put him way behind.
I had totally forgotten that Marlon Wayans was in this movie.
Oh,
like, watching this was like watching it for the first time. It was
I remembered he was in this, but I forgot how much. There are scenes where I swear to God he's trying to channel fucking Chris Tucker from Fifth Element, where it's like, what are you doing? Stop this. Stop. Yeah, no, it's only certain scenes where you feel like he's like overacting a bit. It's like, what are you doing? Oh, my God. It's
he did bring the Wayans comedy to the table. It's
he did.
Like, you know,
I could tell
Wayans
the
movies.
I could tell the stuff he improvised.
Mm-hmm.
And probably what was in the script.
Did you guys think it was adorable?
Sure.
I thought I personally thought it was kind of adorable adorable when the script thought it had, when the story thought it was strong enough to actually sell that I would care about his death. Like, it went for it. Now I was just like, are you serious?
Somebody you, went you, for you it in that
scene. You don't
have
this, guys. You don't have it. You're doing it. Okay.
Somebody went for it in that scene.
It was a big dramatic death. It's like, oh, you haven't come close to earning this movie. What are you doing?
They tried. They tried for that moment. lead in that.
Justin Whaley, I want to say.
Yeah.
I just know him from Lois and Clark, a TV series I used to watch starring Terry Jimmy. Hatcher.
He fucking was Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, he
oh my god. How could I forget that?
It's a series that starred Terry Hatcher and some asshole that I definitely have gotten in Twitter arguments with.
You picked a fight with Superman, dude.
Yeah, no, it happens. You know, occasionally you gotta fight Superman, especially when he's being an asshole.
Yeah. It's okay. I've called Hercules an ignorant.
Yeah, no, sometimes you gotta pick four a letter for words. Hercules, too. I haven't gotten Hercules to reply yet. I'm working towards it.
I haven't won on that. I keep switching between two different four-letter words for some other adjectives in there. Mm-hmm. It's tasteful.
He's the lead here.
Yeah. Watching this, it was driving me crazy because I was like, I know this actor from something.
Mm-hmm.
It was driving me nuts, and I waited till about halfway through the movie just to look it up because it was just going to drive me crazy the whole movie. And he was Andy Bartlett in Child's Play 3.
Child's Play is a franchise I seriously need to sit down and watch. I'm so far behind a lot of these horror franchises. It's either I've seen them all or I've seen, like, none of them. There's, like, no in between with horror franchises with me right now.
Well, and, like, what's funny, Bobby, is, like, I know him from somewhere, and I haven't seen any of those Child's Play sequels, like, since they came out, probably. That's exactly right. He's the older Andy.
Mm. It's the older Andy. The one when they recast the original actor, because he wasn't old enough for the script or the part in the script.
Mm.
Right.
But they've brought him back for the past two entries, because the one that followed, because they had three after that, but the two direct to streaming that they released, The Curse and Cult, he's in both of those, reprising his role, and he also is reprising his role in the television series. Now, I haven't seen season two yet, but season one is really great.
Really?
Like, if you really enjoy everything that Bride and Seed were, you'll really enjoy the television series. It's like in that same spirit. And
okay, I think I've only seen Bride. It's the last one I saw.
I will sit down with my daughter and be like, hey, I don't know what these movies will be like, but you want to sit down with me through them? She's usually up for something like that.
Okay.
Probably not nearly as terrifying by today's standards.
No, they're more goofy. They lean into the comedy with Bride of Chucky.
The first movie, though,
are really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when that first movie came out, I was like, oh crap, this is just some, you know.
I was
probably like seven. It was freaky.
I definitely need to watch it because, I mean, I love Brad Dourif in like almost everything I see him in.
So great. He gives a great voice performance in all of these. And, you know, there's times when he is fully just screaming rage the whole time. It's great.
Yeah, I seriously need to watch it. No, so we're not talking about Dungeons and Dragons. Do you want to know why?
Yes.
This movie fucking sucks.
I would rather talk about Child's Play 3 than Dungeons and Dragons. But,
what did you think as Nora Birch playing the childlike Empress Savina?
I thought she was quite bad. I'll be blunt.
Was she very much modeled after Never Ending Story? I mean,
I got Amidala vibes, and I got like Never Ending Story vibes. But that being said, like,
Neverending Story with the headdress, absolutely.
Yeah,
that picture in the cover looks like
seriously, you
know, the Empress from Neverending Story.
Well, that's the thing. Like, she never gave off a commanding presence, and I don't know. She probably just wasn't directed right, because she did more of a, like, she did lots of whiny deliveries, which is like, no, you're supposed to be a commander. You're supposed to be, like, strong. What are you doing with this? Like, you know, and it would be one thing if, like, she was kind of whiny when she's off to the side talking to somebody. And then when she actually gave an impassioned speech to the Senate, it was just like, this is, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and she did that properly commanding.
To be honest.
They're not be on board with it, but they didn't do that. They didn't do it.
Well, to be completely honest, I completely forgot she was in the movie until that Senate scene.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she plays so little a role. She's, like, barely in the beginning, and then all of a sudden she's super prominent in the end. And it's like...
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, what the hell is going on? Oh, there's Jeremy Irons. Okay.
She flies one of the dragons.
I could see...
She won. Oh, God.
I could see some of the Star Wars vibes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
But...
Oh, those dragons.
Oh god!
Oh man, they look so bad.
I mean, like,
bad.
We had a little exchange, but like you said, it's like PS2 cutscene hell, and I said that is extremely rude to PS2 cutscenes.
But I showed you the picture of what I was looking at, and replied with "woof."
Wasn't that like the compositing was not good?
No,
like, the matte paintings did not blend. It was. You know, it wasn't
a lot of the
convincing by any stretch.
Terrible. You know?
And here,
a lot of the renderings were horrible.
We just talked about Tom Baker. We want to talk about like something that had like really shitty special effects and just had to like sell it based on the story and performances. Fucking Tom Baker air Doctor Who. Some great goddamn stories there. Really spotty special effects, especially once you upgrade the quality. Like, I remember, I think it's even Genesis of the Daleks, possibly his most famous story, where he's walking through a hallway of bodies, and now on DVD quality, not even, like, Blu-ray or anything, DVD quality, you can clearly see the bodies are just, like, faceless plastic dummies. Just all of them. It's like, you go along with it, because it's such a good story. This movie doesn't have the story to get away with these awful special effects, especially when the, like, some, like, half the opening scene is, like, shitty special effects. Like, sci-fi would look at this movie and say, we'll go Sharknado instead.
We'll pass.
It's nothing about being from the time, because there were seriously other low-budget movies from the same time frame that had way better special effects.
Dragonheart off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a better movie.
Yeah. what were you saying, George?
No, I was just going to say I was going to kind of see what the budget was for this one.
Yeah.
It never really looked it up. Let's see here.
Well, let's just say the budget shows quite a bit.
Well, they had $45 million
for this. They
could have gotten some better compositing
for $45 million. I tell you what, when you're a director and you start seeing some of these effect shots, that's when you start going, okay, what we need to do is start filming some actors' reactions and focusing on actors' reactions. And like limit your effect shots so that way you can put as much money into possible in those limited effect shots. And they just said, no, we're gonna ride on these effect shots. These will make the fucking movie.
We will make cinematic.
I mean, there's ways you could do. There's ways you can fix things in editing, like you said, Bob, reaction shots. Yeah. You can build suspense out of showing less. Mm-hmm. I mean, there. If you want to focus on fewer effect shots and make at least a handful of them really good, there's ways that you can
Show it shadow on the ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in the foreground of wherever like build up the suspense for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just lean on that shot for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
the big battle at the end, I thought was one of like the worst looking.
Oh God, that was hard to watch because you're jumping between this completely CGI environment that
is
awful.
There.
And then this like real world set where the background CGI and like the real world set was just like a balcony or something. It was like nothing.
Mm-hmm. I think the best part in the whole movie is where they said, well, what about Honor Amongst Thieves? I went,
I know that movie. That movie looks better. That movie I'm hoping that movie is good. I will say I haven't liked the past couple trailers for that movie, but that's also how they did the trailer, not really the movie. So we'll
I have a feeling it's going to be heavy lore, like Thor vibes, like Ragnarok vibes.
That could be fun. Like, I'm on board for that. I'm on board.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too. So, I'm okay with it. Maybe that's what Dungeons and Dragons always needed. Maybe it needed Thor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess we haven't talked about Jeremy Irons.
Oh, yes, how he won Best Buffet. Yes.
Yeah. No, he did have to eat for a year after all the scenery chewing he did here. Like he was a well-fed actor.
Oh my god, that didn't even make the movie enjoyable.
I know, but like, what was that thing he did? The cha cha cha. What the fuck was that?
He
like it
felt like he was over.
What?
Felt like he was overacting, but maybe they were going for that. Kind of cheesy vibe.
I don't think they were going for that. I think they just said, well, this is Jeremy Irons, and he's just going to do what he
wants.
Yeah.
He made that choice, and he's like, you know, and nobody wanted to tell him a different, because, you know, it's Jeremy Irons.
He's easily the biggest name in this cast. Easily.
Yeah,
while
Marlon also understood the assignment.
Yeah. Well, it's like
I'm gonna try to make the best.
They're just like, oh wow, Justin, this movie's garbage. Let's just have fun with
Justin,
it.
Yeah, and Justin probably it's like, this is gonna I'm gonna make this big. This is gonna be my break.
Oh, because
he gave it a lot.
Yeah,
he gave more than he did in Child's Play 3.
Well, I mean, a lot of the actors, like a lot of the hero actors, probably with the exception of Marlon. You got the sense they're trying to sell it to varying degrees. It's like, I commend their effort. I don't think any of them were particularly bad per se, but
no,
it just doesn't. It's the movie doesn't deserve that. So just to give you an idea, like we're right here on the screen. We're looking at the poster. Looking at this poster, I want you to look at the dragon image they chose for the poster. This is an image that was still that they're going to use to advertise. So they need to put up the best visual possible on this poster. And that's the picture of the dragon they chose.
That's what they went with.
Yeah. Oh, I have seen seen worse movies.
Yes.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I've seen ones that are harder to get through.
Yeah, this one's hard to get through. Like, even Jeremy Irons isn't saving it. Like, an argument could be made something like The Room or Samurai Cop are technically worse, but they're easier to get through. They're easier.
I don't know. We haven't gotten through any Neil Breen movies, so...
That's true. Have you ever seen a Neil Breen movie?
I've seen Faithful Findings once.
Ooh. You see, I've never sat down through a Neil Breen movie. It's always been on my to-do list.
This is a good one for a bad movie night.
I have a pick.
Oh, yeah. Neil Breen, yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen any Neil Breen, George?
Oh, maybe. Let me... Not familiar with the name. Is it Neil?
You'll know his face. You'll see his face.
He's definitely one of those guys where if you don't know who he is, then you haven't seen him.
No, I recognize the face. Let me... What is he?
Oh, dear.
Although none of these...
How could you do it? How could you kill yourself?
I haven't seen any of these movies, though.
I haven't either. I've just seen clips.
I feel like maybe it's just something I scrolled past on the web
clips
one day.
Are bad. Yeah. No, I need to actually sit down and watch it. It needs to be like The Room and Samurai Cop, where I actually need to sit down and watch them. Because sometimes I watch these bad movies like, oh, that was just bad. Sometimes I'm like...
My looking at the right that thing... Faithful Findings, Double Down, Twisted Pair.
That's the man.
Yeah.
the man, the myth, the legend. So anyways, Dungeons and Dragons would have been better if directed by Neil Breen. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, starring Tommy Wiseau.
The effects would have been about the same.
And Frank Stallone.
And when we say starring Stallone, you know he has like a 2-second cameo.
And what's Martin Sheen's brother, like Rick Estevez or something like that?
So not Emilio? No. Well,
not
Emilio,
no. Martin has a brother that goes by Estevez.
Oh, you talk about Martin or Charlie?
Martin Sheen.
Oh, Martin Sheen. I thought you said Charlie.
Yeah, Martin Sheen has a brother.
He does, doesn't he?
And he goes by Estevez. He is uncle to Emilio and Charles.
I don't remember. Yeah,
he was in a few MST3K movies. Yeah.
Okay, fact check.
He's not good. He's not good. Like, you don't have to fact check me on that one. His movies have been on MST3K. Yeah, that should be the fact check this caliber of an actor.
Well, you need to understand, you brought him up, and now I'm like, what the hell is his name?
Yeah, no, I can't remember his name either.
But you are right, it's Estevez. He goes by the family name.
He goes by the family name, like Emilio. I think it's Jack.
It might be... Okay, I'm just going to Google this shit. Martin
Sheen's brother.
Joe Estevez, that's it.
Joe Estevez, yes. That's it.
Second I thought, I was like, that's it. But yeah.
That's it.
Dungeons & Dragons 2000. Jeremy Irons really tries to chew the scenery and save it. He can't. It's bad.
Yeah.
I guess, are we ready to move on to John Wick? Well, okay. George, you're going to duck out for John Wick then?
Yeah, I'll probably duck out.
Okay.
It's on the upcoming watch list. All right. I could probably go see it in theaters before the run is done. And
I enjoyed it thoroughly. It's a long one, but it doesn't feel like it.
Cool.
But yeah, I'll talk to you.
Looking forward to it.
And anytime you want to pop on the podcast, just let me know.
Will do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. We'll talk to you later.
No problem. Have a good one. Talk to you later.
You too. Bye.
Bye. John Wick. Let me switch this out. Ooh, poster change. All right. John Wick, Chapter 4. And one thing I will say real fast, Chapter 3 had a subtitle and Chapter 4 drops the subtitle. And I don't know, it just kind of bugs me that they can't, like if you're going to do a subtitle. If you're not, just stick with it.
Yeah.
It's a minor thing, I know, but it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Either do the subtitle or don't do the subtitle. But John Wick Chapter 4. This was a drama about a man just dealing with the grief of the death of his wife.
Still?
It's very dramatic. It's very sad.
Is that still the thing?
There is still kind of a thing like that, yes. I'll just go ahead and say I really enjoyed this one. I thought this was a solid ending to the series. And it is an ending to the series. I will stress that before we get into full spoilers.
Yeah, it is.
And there is setup for more possible movies, but like this ends this story finally. I don't like the terming of that. But yeah, pretty definitively it ends the story.
This is definitely a finale.
What are your initial thoughts kind of going before we get his spoilers?
Like, before we get it, like, my initial thoughts going into the movie?
Before spoilers, yeah.
I'm hoping that they would deal more with, like, the organization and everything. Kind of give us a better idea of inner workings. Maybe we see a few more key players involved in it. Maybe see John Wick do the complete decimation of them all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't. That's the interesting thing. I don't know if we really get any of that. We do get to see more key players.
And we do in a sense.
Yeah.
And I like what they did with it.
Mm-hmm.
I like this movie. I did. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I just, there is some things I didn't like about it. Like, there's some criticisms I have.
Well,
and one major criticism that I unforgivable, in my opinion. But I still like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't care for a certain sequence in the movie.
Well, I will tell you my biggest gripe about the movie, and I don't even feel like this qualifies as a spoiler, because it's something that the movie never touches upon.
Mm-mm.
What's up with his dog? He adopted a dog at the end of the first one. We see the dog in the second one. We see the dog in the third one. And then the dog's just gone. What's up with that?
I think the dog's being cared for by Lawrence Fishburne.
That'd be nice to set up, but yeah.
It showed him walking with the dog.
Did it? I don't remember that. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
then I feel like they need more to set that up, but yeah.
No, we could set it up, and I will, it'll be something that we could circle back to.
Yeah, because the concierge was Lance Reddick's character was take care of the dog. And, you know, now we're dabbing mm-hmm. into spoiler territory, because his role in this is actually really small, because his character dies super early on. And I imagine people are wondering, oh, is that because the actor died? No, I'm certain they had time to film everything. It was almost certainly just how it was written, and it just lines up. Because it does feel appropriate that he dies there. Not like we get a full character arc there, but like, you know, he was always a side character anyway, and it's... Essentially, that's the moment where Winston's starting to realize, you know, the walls are closing in a bit on him. He's been walking cock of the walk for a while. Now he's realizing, this may not go great. This may not...
Yeah, he's been playing that fine line for a while, and this may be his last ride.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that stuff with Winston. I liked everything with Winston in this. I kind of wish
Ian McShane is amazing.
Yeah, just more in it. Yeah, I really am enjoying his performance.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy it in anything.
Yeah. Because,
he's great.
And
I want to stress this too. I love Donnie Yen in this.
Oh, dude, Donnie Yen plays a blind man, and he's great. Yeah. I was like, dude, is he getting typecast as the blind man who kicks ass?
Just immediately, I heard him talk, and I went, Donnie Yen? Because I didn't know he was in the movie.
I remember hearing that he was in the movie. And I want to say, like... I must have
heard about it, but it was like, oh, yeah, Donnie Yen is in this. Donnie Yen is in this.
Yeah, and he's a great new character. And like the way they like I think he might be feeding birds or something. And then we see like it pans up and he has his glasses on, and that shot looks like it's straight from an anime. And I kind of love that. It looked kind of like surreal. It was kind of great how it was done.
Yeah, I noticed that too. There was a lot of stuff in this that really looked like an anime, like angles. Like, kind of diving into a little bit of spoiler territory here.
Near the duel sequence. Yeah, we've already dipped our toes in spoilers. So, yeah, spoilers.
Well, yeah, okay, so let's start talking about the plot of it then.
Yeah.
So John Wick finds a way to completely be done with the organization and just cash out, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just has to do another impossible task.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what the point of this movie is. This is the movie that is recreating the impossible task that we saw in all the other movies. This is him doing that. This is him just killing a fuck ton of people.
Yeah, and the price on his head just keeps going up throughout this entire movie.
Yeah, I actually just...
In the end, it gets up to like 48 million, something.
I know it definitely hit 40. Yeah. I remember in the first one, it was a big deal when, like, he hit 2 million, and now it's like, oh, he's at 40 million now. And it goes up quickly. Because, well, there's Donnie Yen, who's hired to go after him, and Donnie Yen's an old friend of his, and he doesn't want to do it, but they have his daughter, so he's going to do it.
He's hired by a Damel Demont, a French guy, who is, who is the actor?
He was the guy who played the clown in the recent It movies, but I can't think of his name. Shit.
Bill Sasgard?
I believe it's one of the Sasgards.
Alex Sasgard, maybe?
Alex was the one on True Blood, wasn't it? We're gonna find out.
I think, maybe.
Where is he? Bill. It's Bill. Okay. I think Bill was what he said first. Yeah. He's the younger one. Well, I don't know. I don't know how many brothers there are, but yeah, he's definitely younger. Mm. But yeah, he's like, I don't remember the exact rank they give him, but like he's elected to be pretty much, he can do whatever he wants with the organization in his current position, and he just decides to go out Al Donna, John Wick. John Wick, Winston essentially comes to John Wick and says, you know, there's this old rule you can do where you can challenge him to a duel. And, but he can't just do that because in order to be in a duel, you have to be part of a family. And he already burned his family connections. And I thought this would be an opportunity where, okay, we're going to see Angelica Houston again. And no. And that's something that's one of my disappointments from this movie, because I actually thought we'd see lots of returning characters.
I was hoping for that as well. I thought that was
We introduced Halle Berry in the last movie. I thought she'd come back because I thought she was great in the last movie.
Yeah, I thought she was great too.
I thought, with him having to rekindle stuff, his family, his Belarus roots, I thought for sure Angelica Houston would come back, and she does not. Another thing I forgot about in the first one, when he first goes to the Continental, he's talking to the bartender, who I believe is played by Bridget Regan. And she's, they obviously have this history, and, she's obviously affectionate towards him. And then, that's completely dropped in all the other movies. It's like, right? I feel like there's lots of ideas that are brought up that aren't really addressed, or at least characters aren't really addressed later. And I would have liked to see a bit more. That being said, in case you're wondering this, did you stay for the post-credit scene?
No.
Yeah, I almost walked out, but yes,
there was one.
There is a post-credit scene. It is kind of set up for a spinoff. We'll see. This movie's doing really well, so I guess there's a strong possibility of a spinoff. I don't know exactly how I feel. I guess if they do a good job, cool. But I kind of like how this ends it as well, because at least, you don't get that often where you have a multi-episode story arc, and then you land the ending. Even though it's not perfect, I felt like this pretty much lands the ending about as well as you could do with this franchise. So we'll see what happens. But do you remember the daughter of Keanu Reeves goes to the Continental Hotel in, I believe it was in Japan? And then, the daughter of the father that ran that Continental.
Yeah.
The post-credit scene is we see her stalking Donnie Yen, who killed her father. So, there's definitely seeds there. Overall, I will say I thought the action here was fantastic, even though,
the action was on point. The thing I want to address with it is where the movie just decided to be the Warriors for 30 minutes.
I'm not familiar with the Warriors, so you'll have to fill me in.
Okay. I don't know if it was a homage to it or whatever, but the first time that in the sequence when the bounty kept getting raised, and they played a special request for John Wick, Nowhere to Run. That scene is directly lifted from the Warriors.
Really?
Yeah, well, in the Warriors, let me give you a quick synopsis of that. It's like a dystopian setting that is essentially New York City, in the 70s. Street gangs and everything run the whole city and everything. So there's one guy who decides that he's going to host a meeting with all the gangs, telling them, guys, why are we fighting each other? Mm-hmm. Look at this. Look at our numbers. Look at this. One game. We all operate under one title, And that's the plot of it. The movie starts with that. Mm-hmm. So the Warriors are a gang from Coney Island. They're at this meeting. Another gang, one of their rivals, kills this guy who's speaking at this meeting, this guy Cyrus. The Warriors are framed for it. They have to escape from Central Park back to Coney Island, and the whole movie takes place over that, their trip back. They're fighting through a city where every gang in the city is after him. And in the beginning, there's a DJ who, requests, who plays that song dedicated to them as they're getting away. And most of the movie takes place through musical sequences and them fighting their way out of different gangs and scenarios and situations.
That great definitely movie, sounds dude. Like an homage. I know.
It's a fucking great movie. Mm. It's a I'm surprised you haven't seen that.
No, no. It's probably why I didn't pick up on it. Although the DJ thing seemed familiar. I've probably seen it in other movies, but
yeah. Well, yeah, and they're ripping off that. Actually, fun fact, the DJ in The Warriors, I can't think of the actress's name. But if did you watch PBS as a kid?
Oh, yeah, of course. Who didn't?
Do you remember Carmen Sandiego?
Of course.
Do you remember Chief?
What, Lynn Thigpen?
The lady, yeah. Yeah, that's nice. Her.
Oh, nice.
She's a DJ in that. Like, nice. Recognizable nice. Voice.
Yeah. No,
it's so much great. That any time that I hear it, I always just, like, respond instantly, yes, Chief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, Chief. Yes, Chief.
No, like, it's one of those things where, like, Carmen Sandiego was just a silly little game show that they had. But, like, yeah, the Chief, memorable. And I think she carried on for the spinoff. Although, I think the host carried on for... I think most people carried
on for the spinoff as well. Yeah, they both did. And they also had a very short-lived, like, actual series where there were, like, detectives that were kids
mm-hmm.
trying to solve the crimes. But the show didn't really do as well as the game show version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, fun story. Shortly after I met my wife, her and I were still dating at the time. We were going out to lunch somewhere, and we just happened to see this woman in a big red hat walking, and we were like, "We found her!
Mm.
There she is!"
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
But
well, yeah.
This movie, John. The whole Warriors thing, that kind of annoyed me, I kind of didn't like the length of it. I felt that a lot of it was like adding scenes or stuff that could have been cut or trimmed. I think the movie could have easily been an hour 47. This could have easily been John Wick 4 and 5. The length for this is something I have to complain about.
It is long. I will say it didn't actually get to me. The only time it actually got to me, I feel like was on purpose, because the time it got to me was the stairwell stuff. Because it just felt like, God, he has to go up there, and, you know, he keeps on getting knocked down, and he has to go up there. But I also feel like that's kind of, like, they were leaning into that purposely. Because it's just supposed to be like, you got to keep going, and it's like, oh, God, fuck.
Or, I don't know, I noticed this because I had plenty of time to observe the scene and the surroundings. There was at least four segments of stairs that were like that. He mm-hmm. went through about four major fight sequences.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just leaving it there, and maybe on the last one have him knocked down all the way on the and maybe on the last one have him knock and continue falling the whole way.
Yeah,
down. I mean,
it was a little cartoonish how far he fell. I will definitely give you that one, because, like, really,
I mean, I get it. I get what they were trying to do. Also, Bill was such a piece of shit.
Oh yeah, no, I was so happy when he died. Fucking glorious.
Yeah, I said, like, you know, that was one of my, that was like the best part of the movie, I think.
Easy.
Because honestly, after that second round, because they drew pistols, and that's what they decided for the duel.
Mm-hmm.
He and Donnie Yen went up. They went three rounds, and the third one, Donnie knocked him down.
Because
they had to move 10 paces closer. Also, real quick, the guy hosting and giving the rules for the duel.
Yes.
Did you notice that with Clancy Brown?
Yeah, no, I noticed that very early in the movie, because he's throughout.
I was
the movie,
like,
and it's like,
I was
nice.
Like, yeah. So, do we get to see him talking to his colleagues? No, damn it, that's what I wanted.
Yeah,
but on that last one, I was like, John didn't fire.
Yeah,
I was like, I noticed that immediately. Mm-hmm. He didn't fire. Then he walked up, I'm going to take the kill shot, and it's like, you fucking...
Yeah, he's got you.
I just knew what was coming, and I'm like, yep. And I go, Winston, why did you have to ruin the surprise, man? Mm-hmm.
Well,
I get it, dramatic
effect. I'm not
going
to lie,
but
to a degree, he was also distracting him, because it seemed like he was getting ready faster than John was. Because John was not doing well at that point, but...
No, he wasn't great at that point, and the outcome that later came to him was, well, we've given plenty of warning.
Yeah.
Now here comes the big one. John Wick dies.
Yes, he does. And they set it up throughout the movie. Like, they even are discussing, you know, what do you want on your tombstone? And he said pepperoni and cheese. No, he said, old 90s joke. But he said,
dog lover. Yeah. Dog lover.
Yeah, dog lover. No, he said John, beloved husband. And yeah, that we get to see that at the end. John Wick, beloved husband, right next to his wife.
While Lawrence Fishburne has the dog.
Oh, did he have the dog there? I feel like they need to establish that more, because they don't really...
They showed the dog by himself and just with a pair of legs standing at a grave before it panned out. But I saw a JW and then like his wife with like a CK, and I'm like, oh, he did die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I think it's good. Like, they gave him a firm ending, and then, like, it's set up for a spinoff, but, like, it's also, like, I feel like they've done enough to set the spinoff on its own, so, like, they could do it, but,
yeah.
Like, you don't have to, like, it doesn't mean you have to watch it or anything. You know, because I feel like they did the John Wick story, and it's got a conclusion. Is it perfect? No. Is it
pretty fucking good?
So, is it?
Like, the Warriors thing kind of annoyed me, and I mean, I rolled at that point. I was kind of like, all right, let's get this
movie. Well, this is like, I will give the movie all the credit in the world, because this is action scene and action scene, and you know, John Wick's going to come out on top in every action scene. There's no way around it.
And it works. You're right. Their formula stayed true, man. This story really took a back seat in this one. It's more just hanging off by the bumper, Marty McFly skateboarding on this one.
Yeah, no, this story is so simple. For the runtime, there's like almost nothing to this story.
That's the thing that I would have rather had one with some real meat and potatoes of a story in one, but I'm being
nitpicky. I feel like this kind of follows the formula again, where like every John Wick movie, the story gets a little bit worse, but the action gets a little bit better. And it's like, and, you know, it starts out fairly good. It starts out with a great story and, you know, pretty good action. And then every movie, the action gets better and the story gets worse. And then...
Donnie Yen. Man. Mm-hmm. Also, the guy who played the head of the management of the Japanese hotel.
Yeah, he was great. I loved him.
I really liked him. I knew he would be a character I loved when he first appeared in like the full kimono and two samurai swords.
Yeah.
I was like, I dig this guy's style.
Yeah. He has a great line.
I'm here for it.
He has a great line in there where he's talking to John, because, you know, John's like, you know, it's dangerous to talk to me, you know, thank you for allowing me in here. And he was like, and his line was essentially, I'm sure I'm paraphrasing it, but he said, friendship is worthless if it's only used when it's convenient. And it's like, damn, based, you know.
Yeah, no, that was.
No, you're my friend. You're here. You're my friend.
Yeah. No, I dug that line.
Yeah,
I did. I dug him.
I was sad
that he had to die, but man, he held his own against Donnie until the end.
I watch it and I'm like, I know he's going to die, but God, I love his character. He was awesome. Yeah, just overall great movie.
Oh, let's talk about the gangsters.
Yes. Yes, there's two aspects I want to talk about. I want to talk about the assassin with his dog, but also I assume you're talking about the gangsters, like the card guy. Yeah, because that might have been my favorite action scene in the movie.
Yeah, that was mine. That was mine. I especially liked it when he threw the gangster off the balcony. And even John fell two flights. Like, I liked how that shot just followed him all the way down.
Yeah.
That was... I just kind of wonder, that looked like Keanu the whole way. Did he do that stunt?
Well, dude, Keanu does a lot of his own stunts, and you can tell.
He does,
A lot of these action scenes, like... are almost in his face. Like, you know, you can clearly see the action, but you can also fairly clearly see Keanu's face, and it looks good. So he puts in the work. But yeah, that fight with that gangster, when that gangster first pops up, it's like, oh, well, you know, getting around his goons is going to be the issue, because he's not going to be
an issue.
Because
a lot of the shots, a lot of the way that they were featuring him with those upward angles on him, really made him look like a comic book villain.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. Like,
over the top. Yeah.
When they're fighting, it's like, oh, this guy's Kingpin. Because Kingpin, the whole thing about Kingpin was supposed to be like, he looks like a fat guy, but it's supposed to be like pure muscle or something like that. So like, he can kick your ass.
That was kind of the case.
That's kind of what this guy was,
We didn't even talk about the third assassin in this one, the guy with the dog.
Yeah, we need to talk about him as well. Because, the guy with the dog was, he obviously, do they ever establish what he need to pay off?
Mr. No One. Mr. Nobody.
He needed to pay off something, so he was looking for like $50 million or something like that. So
yeah, he was looking for a payday.
Yeah. So what he was doing in the beginning of this movie was he was killing people who were close to getting to John in order to drive up the bounty.
Yeah.
Which was an interesting angle. essentially, yeah, he gets to a point where he's ready to kill John and he goes after him, and then John has him. And then there's this great moment where this guy, he has this dog that he loves. He's almost like the new Halle Berry character, except he has just one dog. He flat out told him to stick balls a few times, too.
He did.
He's like, balls.
He straight called Nixon, and that ball, he said nuts. And yeah. The dog, yeah. That was cool.
It's like, oh, God. That, he probably wishes he was dead. But, John Wick has him. He's gonna kill him, and then like he sees one of the assassins about ready to kill the guy's dog, and then of course John Wick couldn't let it happen, and he kills the assassin that's gonna kill the dog.
Yeah,
and yeah, that was a moment where the guy was like, "Okay, I'm out. I'm not killing you." And
no, you're cool.
Oh shit! Oh. Microphone.
All right.
Good fun. But yeah.
Saved.
But yeah,
that was the last thing I wanted to bring up with the movie.
Just,
yeah,
the last thing I wanted to bring up was just go back to the Kingpin inspired guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you impressed when he did a spinning kick? Yes. I was just like, the fuck? Since when someone of that weight do a spinning kick?
Well, my reaction was like, well, now I know it's a fat suit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, huh, definitely.
Man.
No, that was
great
impressive.
Performance, though. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they got some great characters in this one. And overall, it works out well. Like I said, I would like to see some more returning characters, but I guess we have the spinoffs for that. We'll see if any of them return for that, but we'll see. I like that they concluded the John Wick story. Yeah, just overall, I'm happy with this franchise.
Yeah, me too.
Anything else you want to add before we go on to next week?
Nah.
All right. So next week, what do we have on plate for next?
I looked on my schedule, or at least, the one that we have.
Yeah.
And I see that I have a pick coming up and I would like to fill that one in now, cause I tried to do it from my phone and it wouldn't let me.
Well, the phone, you have to hit the edit button and then you can change it. But yeah, May 1st, you have a pick coming up. You want to throw that in now?
Yeah. Yeah. A King of New York.
King
of New York, 1990.
All right. Well, that will be on May 1st.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I cannot type straight. Okay. All right. But for next week, Oh, boy. Well, we got Dungeons & Dragons this week. Next week, we got Super Mario Brothers 1991.
Hell to the yeah.
That's another movie I've only seen once, so this will be my second time watching this one.
And we also got Too Fast, Too Furious.
Too Fast, Too Furious. Yeah, I got to get back to Too Fast and Furious. Oh,
the
God.
New Dungeons & Dragons movie.
You know, that Dungeons & Dragons movie better be good. Otherwise, it might be a week next week where we're just talking about bad movies.
It all sucks. Yeah. It all sucks.
Okay, last week we were like, everything's good. Now we're like, everything fucking sucks. Of course, yeah. Dungeons & Dragons wasn't good. But you know, Mandalorian and John Wick were good. I mean,
They were.
But yeah, I know. I've only seen Super Mario Brothers once and was not a fan. I saw Too Fast and Furious.
In years.
Once, and
but
I was
I'm excited.
Not a fan.
I'm only excited about one part of the Super Mario Brothers.
What part?
It's Dennis Hopper just going monkey.
Yeah.
Just that alone.
Well,
I'll just get to that part and be like, I don't need to see any more.
I'm looking at these, and to my memory, I think Too Fast and Too Furious is probably technically the better movie. But I'm much more looking forward to Super Mario Brothers 1991.
Yeah, me too. Not gonna lie.
I will say that if I remember correctly, Too Fast, Too Furious is like my second least favorite one of that franchise. There's two in that franchise that I do remember just not enjoying, and that was one of them.
This is the one that starts building the canon in the world.
To a degree. Well, they don't do it on purpose. It's because Vin Diesel doesn't come back, so they kind of they do a whole bunch of offshoot characters. And it
for some reason.
Yeah. It's because this movie we have the craziness we have now. Which, honestly, I'm not going to lie. There are some solid entries in the craziness we have now, but...
That has yet to be determined on this end of the screen.
Hey, hey. Fast Five is fun as hell.
All right.
We will get to it. We will get to it. But we got to get through a couple first. All right.
Yeah.
But all right. Next week, I hope Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves is fucking good, goddammit.
Yeah, I hope so, too. But, I mean, hey, the only way to go is up.
Yeah, true, true.
After like, this past entry, the only way to go is up.
If it's worse than this one, then fuck. Oh, God. If it's worse than this one, guys. Oh, my God.
There was a few direct-to-video releases of the sequels in between. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to lie. If Too Fast, Too Furious ends up being the best movie this week, I'm going to scream. Just fuck no.
It'll be the one meh of the week.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The meh of the week.
We will see. But until then,
we will see.
Everyone have a good one.
Take care.
I don't. I'm not in position. Hold on. I can do this. I got this. Hold it. I'm not talking. This is smooth. No problems. Perfect.
Books, records, films, these things matter. Call me shallow. It's the fucking truth.